Hey, everybody, and welcome back to No Earthly Explanation. This is the podcast where we dive into the things that are just unexplainable. In case you're new to listening, I'm your scientific host, Ellie Ringo of Ellie Knows Rocks. And with me, as always, is our investigative host, Don Schmidt. How you doing tonight, Don?
I'm just great, Ellie. Good to always be with you. Thank you.
So what have you been up to? You've been out to Roswell lately?
Well, actually, yes. I did a number of additional lectures there, and we're working on a major new display that we're hoping to unveil next year. And the whole idea is that we will take people back not only to 1947, when the most famous of all UFO cases took place, but we will take you there. We will take you to the very crash site. And if we pull this off, it will be a major, major attraction, I would say globally. So it's hard though, finding the best people, the best professional people that can carry it out the way I want it done with the effects.
Very true.
And so I'm shopping even in other countries right now,
but that's smart.
I don't quit.
That's a lot of technical things and everything that you have to make sure that, you know, people have a good experience. And I'm really interested.
Well,
go ahead.
And for the investors involved too. I mean, I'm promising it's going to be state of the art, and it's going to be a full scale replica. So that's all, that's as much as I will say at this point.
Got it. Total secrecy. Well, I'm really interested in our guest. I just got back from Tonopah, Nevada, looking for turquoise. And I was exhausted, out of service, but I came back with probably 400 pounds of rocks.
Oh, my.
Yeah, no joke. So I'm a little tired, so I'm glad to just sit for a second. It's fantastic. But I would like to welcome our guest that we have waiting for us. This evening, we're speaking with Erica Alberry, and you guys may have seen her on the Netflix special, Surviving Death. And she has an amazing, amazing story that I can't wait to hear. So should we welcome her in?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it myself.
Awesome.
Hi, Erica.
Are you there, Erica?
Hi, how are you?
How are you this
evening? Thanks for being with us.
I'm doing well. Just got off work and all that, so. But I'm excited to do this podcast.
Oh, fantastic. We're so happy to have you here. Your story is really amazing. Could you start us off with a little synopsis of why you're here and why you were on the show on Netflix, Surviving Death?
It is quite a story. Getting onto Netflix was never something I ever imagined would even happen. Mm-hmm. It just started with my son randomly one day talking about a mother he used to have and a family he used to have. And, you know, he was talking about a mom and dying. And I don't know if you went the whole story.
Yeah, whatever you would like to share, this is amazing.
So he, one day when he was four, we were just in the car and he was just talking about how he really missed his old mom and how they used to go to the park. And I was trying to think of, well, you mean like me at the park? I'm trying to ask him, you know, what are you talking about? And he said, no, my mom with the beautiful hair and she had brown skin and she just pushed me on the swing. And I kind of was trying to ask him like open-ended questions about who are you talking about? Like at this point, I didn't know what he's talking about at all. And he said, well, I used to have brown skin and my name was Jalen and I died a long time ago. And then he told me his mom's last name was Washington and my dad's last name was Robinson. You know, he just started going on the car on the way home from dinner. And
that had to be absolutely just mind-bending.
Yeah.
I mean, not only is he not talking about you as his mother, but he's talking about being another person, another little boy.
Right. I mean, it came out of nowhere. I'm trying to ask him, is this somebody at your school? Like, I'm a skeptical person, so I had to get to the bottom of what he is talking about, because like I'm trying to figure out who at his school is this name, or if he knows somebody, he heard this story. I'm like,
right.
And I'm a preschool teacher myself, so I was asking like open-ended questions, not to like feed in any answers to get correct answers from him, you know. And so we kind of went home, and I could not stop thinking about what he said. I mean, I just was just sitting on the couch, just like, what? You know, and I mean, I got my phone out and I Googled it. Like I Googled, you know, Jalen Robinson, Washington death. I think that's all I entered. And I mean, the news story, like clip articles and obituary and all that stuff popped up. And I mean, I was just, when I seen that the mom's name was Washington and dad's name was Robinson, I was like, oh my gosh, like, is this it? I, you know, I mean, that's pretty weird coincidence. Like,
have you ever heard those names before your son mentioned them?
No, like it was just so random and weird that he just started talking about it in the car.
Oh my gosh.
So,
and you're in Indiana, and this boy, this family is in Brooklyn, New York. So right. It's not as though your neighbors or acquaintances or have even read anything about because the Washington boy met a very tragic ending, as you'll be telling us about shortly. But this was just completely out of nowhere that your son Atlas starts talking about being someone else.
How old was your son when he started talking about this? And how old was the boy that he was having the memories about?
So Jalen was, I think, 19 months old when he was murdered by his babysitter.
Okay.
And my son was 4 years old when he started talking about it.
Your son was how old again? I'm sorry.
Four.
Four. Okay. And how old is your son now? Just out of curiosity.
He is 9 years old now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does he still talk about it? Does he still have any, I guess, visions or dreams, or I'm not sure what it was established he was having?
I asked him recently. Sometimes I try to talk about it. He remembers the story. He remembers filming the Netflix. He knows the documentary, but he does not have any memories of Jalen anymore. He did for probably 2 years. Up to 6 years old, he did talk about it randomly, and then it was, I could tell it was more of like he just thought he should say something, and he was just trying to come up with things to say, and I felt like that's enough, like we're not going to, like he thought he just needed to answer a question, you know, and I, he does not remember that life anymore. So
interesting. As though he's moved beyond. And that where, you know, one soul connecting with another, that, or it's the same soul, that it's moved as far as on into the new life, which happens to be of your son. And that memory of the previous is now gone.
Right.
As much as you would ask him, he doesn't remember. Mm-hmm. It was just during those couple years that it was very stark. In fact, he was having nightmares. He was screaming out during his sleep.
Yes.
That he was feeling the pain, correct?
Right. So after the whole, all of this reincarnation, you know, all this, it made me think, well, when he was a baby, he had night terrors, and he had a lot of, you know, since I think he didn't sleep through the night until he was 2 years old. And and then he still was having these night terrors. I mean, really around 2 till then 4 years old, it started being like 3 to 4 nights a week. And then it was just random, but he would start screaming in his room. It was so, like, we did this so many times. I'd go in there, his dad would go in there, his eyes will be open and he would just be screaming in pain, saying sometimes, stop it. I'm hurting. My legs hurt. He was holding his legs, but his eyes are open, but you can't talk to him. Like, I'm speaking to him and it's like he can't hear me. So it's almost like he was like,
almost like a seizure, but not. And he was there, but somewhere else.
When you're sleepwalking, you can walk around, but he didn't walk around, but he would talk. His eyes are open and he would just be bawling and bawling. And this could go on for an hour. And I would just have to be like, Atlas, you're at home with mommy. Like, we're at home. Calm down. Nothing's happening to you. And I would have to like talk him down to get him back to sleep. Like, just start talking. I thought he was having a nightmare and he was like, couldn't get out of it or something. So I would talk him out. And he even went to like a therapist because I was so concerned.
I was just going to ask, at what point did you seek medical consultation? Because this was a reoccurring event.
Yes, it was happening multiple.
Would it happen once a week? Once a week? Twice? I mean, once. Sometimes I mean, how often? How frequently? I mean,
it was happening so often. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was causing, you know, me going to work, we're tired, he's tired, I'm trying to figure out why is he in pain. I didn't know if he was having like his legs were hurt, because a lot of times he would say his legs were hurting him, so I thought maybe he had something going on, you know. And so I did tell our pediatrician, who got him referred to a child therapist, but it didn't work out too well, because they were just giving me suggestions of how to calm him down to get to sleep at night. And I was trying to explain, he doesn't have trouble going to sleep. It's the nightmares that he's having.
So they didn't really
believe you. Can give him a soothing bath, you can do this. I'm like, well, he's having the nightmare. It's the nightmares that's troubling me. And we probably went 6 or 7 times and we stopped going because I felt like it was not going anywhere.
And you told them that he was telling you about all of these things and they just brushed it off.
Right. They were just saying, trying to, like, they had him playing with Play-Doh, saying like, which color means sadness, which color means anger, and he was like, what? and like, I think they were thinking, I mean, I can understand, they're thinking maybe something was troubling him.
Yeah,
they're trying to get him to talk about his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of like, we just stopped going because I felt like we weren't getting anywhere with that.
So when did you start to get somewhere? Sorry, go ahead, Don.
Oh, quickly. Did any of them at any time question you? Did they suggest that, or in any way infer that maybe he was being abused in any shape, manner, or form?
Thankfully, no.
I mean, unfortunate. That's good. That's great.
Right.
That's great. Because so often that could be the case. But just like quickly, the boy, Jalen Robinson, from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Did Atlas ever mention or suggest, because he had been beaten and strangled to death by his babysitter, as you mentioned, did your son ever feel or relive or sense a pain in his throat or anywhere else where he was struck?
This is what is it. If you do read about it, he was also stabbed in the legs with scissors.
Like, oh, he was also stabbed.
Oh, wow.
In the legs with scissors. And so that makes me think of all the leg pain he had when he was younger.
Oh, my God.
Those were the stab wounds in the legs?
I mean, I read about it that it said that he was stabbed with scissors in the legs. So I wondered if
he
was always crying about his legs. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So was he ever having any kind of like conversations by himself with these other people that he saw, or was it only happening at night when he slept?
Only happening when he slept.
Mm-hmm.
He did go through a time where he was very fearful, and I don't know, he was scared of shadows and he was very like anxious, and he chewed his nails when he was 2, he would chew his nails a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was very worried that, like, why is he so anxious, you know? And he did get, but these are things I didn't think of until when this happened. I think back on his young child, baby life, toddler life, you know, he did bite his nails. He was scared of shadows. for some reason. And so I don't know. So I don't know if those relate to anything, but I just do recall those things. One interesting thing I made me, you know, when I reflect back on his past, he really had a interest in African American women.
Really?
Yes. And I thought about it because when he was about two or three, he had an African American teacher. And he would just say, I love her. Her hair is beautiful. He would always talk about her hair is so beautiful. I love her. She's pretty. And he said, I wish I had brown skin so we could get married. And I told him,
oh my gosh.
I said, well, you don't have to have brown skin to marry someone with brown skin. And he said, I just love her. And then we saw a woman at the grocery store, an African American woman. It's usually with like real like braided hair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, she is beautiful. So it makes me think maybe it made me think of his mother or something, because he would really just be like, wow, she's so beautiful. And
at
so
what age was he saying that?
This is like 2 and 3 years old.
Okay.
Really think African American women were beautiful. And I was like, that's so interesting that he says that.
And that was before he started really talking about all of his.
So I remember thinking he always, I was like, maybe it made me thought of his mom or something, because he really always like, yeah, I want to marry a girl who's beautiful with brown skin. And like, you know,
yeah, I just
thought that was so interesting, like, interesting little thought there.
Wow. That's amazing. So
after, I went home and researched that. I mean, me and his dad are not together, but I mean, we are pretty good friends. So, I mean, I called him immediately and was like, what do you think about this? I'm sending you some links. And he was like, oh my gosh, that is so wild. Like, he was thinking that it was bizarre and interesting. So I thought of questions to like ask him, like, okay, so you used to be this boy named Jalen, like what happened? And see, he at first said, I think my mom may have killed me. I don't know. And, you know,
oh man,
Jalen being 19 months old, you have to think of what a 19-month-old knows. He said, because I remember I was crying and I was kicking my feet. And then I was kicking inside of your stomach. That's what he said, which I'm like, what?
Wow.
That's so bizarre, because there's a time period of Jalen's death and him, Atlas, being born.
How far apart were they?
I'm trying to think, because I don't have it on me. I think.
Oh, that's okay.
I believe Jalen died in, I wrote down 2005.
Okay, I would say 2006 or 5, yeah, around there. And Atlas was born in 2014. So, I mean, there's quite a time lapse there.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, and then I was just kicking inside of your stomach. And I'm like, that was so bizarre. And I did let him know, like, I said, well, I mean, I showed him the article of the obituary, and he said, oh my gosh, my baby picture, you found my baby picture.
Oh, and he recognized it.
He said, that's my baby picture from when I was a baby. And so I said, well, this says that a babysitter, because he said, I think my mom did it to me, though. And I said, it was a babysitter, which was the mom's friend. And he said, oh my gosh, he was relieved to know that his mom didn't do that to him. And I always felt like maybe that was the whole purpose of anything. Of anything is because he was so happy to know that his mom did not hurt him.
Yeah.
So I've asked.
I take it the babysitter was convicted and is serving most likely a life term. But are there any pictures of the babysitter?
I mean,
it's probably too. Right. That would have been an interesting
photo of the sitter.
Okay.
Right. And given that Atlas doesn't remember any of that now, it's probably too late, but that might have been an interesting thing, you know, to create a lineup with different pictures.
Yes.
Different people. And should he then pick the baby and actually react to
that would have been
individual, that picture. That would have been quite a test.
Did he ever see a picture of his past mom or?
So like the next day, because I mean, this consumed my mind. Like I couldn't stop. And not like I was obsessed, but I'm just like, did that happen? I kept questioning, is this really
Oh, you
happening?
had to have been
I'm
worried.
very skeptical because I don't want to sound like a, fake or someone who's seeking attention. You know, man, what do I
Yeah.
do with this information? What do people do if their kids say stuff like this? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I looked up the parents on Facebook, and so I said, I want to do a test with Atlas just to make sure he's not, I don't know, I'm not crazy, we're not crazy. So I took a picture of the dad, and I just looked up Google search African American men around that age, and I just took a bunch of pictures. I made like a collage, like on the computer,
You
and
didn't.
I said, "Hey Atlas, do you know any of these people over here?" And he's looked at it and he said, "Oh my dad, that's my dad right there." And he picked him right out of the picture.
Immediately.
He said,
Wow.
"That's my dad."
Was correct.
And
Did
so,
you do the same thing with his mom by chance?
I did the same thing with the mother. It's my mom. Oh my gosh, I miss her. He wanted to see her. He really wanted to meet her for several years. She was, that's a whole nother story. She w did not want to meet. We did contact them. They
You
do know.
did. Right, right. You had attempted to contact the family and they wanted nothing to do with this situation, correct?
Yes,
Right.
the dad did talk to me. We did communicate for a little bit, but I think a lot of people were telling him that I was some kind of fraud. And he said he was so afraid to accept it because of what if it wasn't true.
So
And the
how
mom
did
was the same way. She was afraid to accept this and it's not true, then it would break their heart if I was like, and I said, okay,
if
I
you're
understand
lying?
that.
Yeah.
So you can always talk to me if you ever need to. I'll leave you alone. I'm not going to push it.
Yeah.
I don't want to bother you and all
As a
that.
mom, how did that make you feel knowing that your son really wanted to meet another mom? Like, was he associating you with his mom, or was it a complete disassociation where you were like the person there, but his mom wasn't here?
He basically would just, we just referred to her as old mom. It's like, it's, and I always find that
I saw
interesting
that.
because how many people have that in their household? As we would just say, oh, my old mom, old dad. That was his old parents. That's how he referred to them.
And so, how did it make you feel, though, as a mom?
I mean, it didn't hurt me. It's okay. I
No.
understand. I understand that it's this confusing for him and
Yeah.
hard for him to talk about. The only thing that ever upset me was that he really, really wanted to see her.
No.
And he would get really upset after he saw the pictures, and he wanted to meet her very badly, and he said he missed her and he wanted to see her again. And we ended up to film the reenactment scenes.
Yeah.
We actually went to New York to do that at the producer's house and stuff like that. Me and him went there, and they tried to contact them to meet us,
Okay. Yeah.
and they did. They it didn't. They didn't happen.
So
And so I was
how did
upset
it
about it a
go
little bit.
from you hearing these stories from your son to somebody else asking you, hey, can you tell me again? Because I'd like to throw you on a TV show. How did that work?
So yeah, I mean, I never meant to get on Netflix or anything. So after, I think I was talking about it with my mom and some family, and they're like, "You should tell message his parents." It took me a little bit before I messaged Jalen's parents because I was very afraid to upset them. I mean, I could imagine having my child being murdered, and then some years later, someone's like, "Hey, my kid's talking about your kid." I don't know. I don't know. I guess I would want to know, so I went back and forth, should I talk to him or not?
Yeah.
So I had a lot of family and friends talking to me about what I should do, and so I just kind of looked up past life information. What, other cases, what did they do? Like, what do you do if this happens? And that's where I saw the Dr. Jim Tucker, who I guess has some books, and he's the shows, and he's like this expert. And I was like, well, this guy seems, I mean, I didn't think I could ever contact him, but I found his information at the University of Virginia, and I just emailed them. I'm like, hey, I see you did this stuff. I have this story, and I don't know who else to talk to about, And I emailed him. I think the next day he emailed me back. He asked my phone number, And like, I think 2 days later we were talking on the phone and
he was interested.
Yep, he was interested. So I was like, wow, I guess I do have something interesting, because he, yeah.
Well, it's what he specializes in, as far as the children who have past life memories.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I know he approaches it very skeptically, but yes. In the case of your son, he was truly impressed that he felt that as much as he may have tried to come up with a conventional explanation, he could not.
Yes.
So did he, was he talking now, to your son at that point?
What was that?
Was he talking to your son at that point? Had you introduced him yet?
So they didn't talk like on the phone or thing. Oh, okay. And he just said, I'll fly out. I want to fly out and see you there in Indiana. And I was like, oh my gosh, come here to my house. You know, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live anywhere fancy. So, you know, Midwest.
Yeah.
And then it got postponed for a little bit. And he said, actually, I just got asked by a documentary crew if they could come with me when I interview you, because they're going to do a documentary. Is that okay? It's for Netflix. It'll probably come out in a couple of years. And I just remember almost feeling panicked, like, oh my gosh, like I'm just a normal, I'm a preschool teacher. Like, I'm just like a normal human. Like, this is very bizarre for me to happen. And I just couldn't believe it. Was very surreal. The part of my son is talking about a past life. It's going to be documented, that people want to film it. I'm like, this is real. Like, I still think about it, and it is very surreal to think about.
What did your son think about it?
It is so funny, because he's just like, eh, about the whole thing.
Whatever.
He's was never he okay? That excited about it.
Oh, really?
No. He just, I guess, so normal. I guess he just doesn't, I don't know.
He didn't faze him. So how was he during, like, being interviewed, and what was that process like for you and him?
Well, he was really shy at first. And so it took a while. They were at my house, I think, for 7 hours.
Wow.
Yes. So setting up and, you know, my whole living room. And yeah, it was crazy. And he was very shy and quiet, and he was hiding behind me a lot. And, but we had talked beforehand about, we're going to talk and they're going to ask you questions.
Mm-hmm.
Just say what you need to. I didn't want to coach him. You know what I mean? I want it to be as, you know, just real as possible. I didn't coach him with anything to say. Just, they ask you questions, just say what you remember. If you don't remember, that's fine, you know. Mm-hmm. And things he talked about in that interview with Dr. Tucker, he even surprised me, because I had, yes, shown him the father and mother photos before.
Mm-hmm.
I have never showed him photos of Parks, which is what Dr. Tucker brought with him, since Atlas talked about a playground.
Uh-huh.
And Atlas picked out a series of photos of the playground, and which is across the street from where he lived, and he recognized that playground. I actually never thought to even look up house, buildings, nothing like that. So I never even. And so he had buildings, apartment buildings in Brooklyn, and Atlas picked out one, that's my old house, and then the babysitter's house. I mean, he picked out all the tests. He got all of them correct. And I was surprised, because I didn't even know that he would know that.
Yeah.
It's not like we have brownstone type buildings here. You know, like, so it's not like they're not even familiar buildings. Like, we don't have
that stick built, that kind of thing, not brick buildings. And so it was,
you don't have the type of structure here. So it's just interesting that he pointed out, oh, yep, that was my house. I put it at that playground. And I think I had goosebumps just watching it. Like, it was filming it. It was a live thing. I was impressed that, I think I couldn't believe that he was remembering it.
Did any point in time, did it feel like your son was like a stranger at all? Like, it wasn't him? I know it's a really weird question, but like, just like, he's having all of these other life experiences, like that kind of thing.
No, I mean, it's still my son Atlas, and it was just his old life, and we talk about it like very nonchalant. You know, I'm very open to talk about with all my kids about everything. So
awesome.
I didn't think, I just thought it was just Atlas, and he had this whole other life, and apparently a short life, unfortunately.
That is sad. Dawn, you had a question.
Yeah, now the Netflix program was based on Leslie Keene's book.
Yes.
And she writes for the New York Times. She had a best-selling book on UFOs. Did you meet her at any time during the interviews? Or have you been in contact with her? Did she make any suggestions? Or did she even share any other experiences that she's investigating? Because it's something that she's also been investigating.
Right. We only communicated briefly before the documentary. She did email me, and we had emailed each other about the documentary, her interest in my case, and some stuff she does, but nothing like she talked about. Like, you know, she does a lot of UFO stuff, and she was she sent me
which
a copy.
I don't know. Yeah, which isn't germane, has nothing to do with your situation. So it seems that it was a rather odd conversation that she would tell you about her UFO book as opposed to tell you some of the shared experiences that she's looked into that would help you possibly, or both of you, understand
right.
what you're talking about here.
Right.
What your son was originally describing. If I may quickly just ask, not knowing as far as the Washington family and their religious background in all this, and is it possible that, and you had mentioned that you did converse with the father, you did talk with him. It was the mother that wanted nothing to do with. Is it possible that maybe your mother believed it and she just didn't want to open up such a wound that, say, she literally could talk to her own deceased son through your own son? And that it was just something that better not to even go there.
I do feel that could be a possible
something
for the mother. The mother and father are not together. I had sent messages to the mother for a message or two, but she never read them. Like, it was unread. So I didn't know if she got on Facebook often. So then I switched to the dad and said something. And then he contacted her and said, hey, someone's been trying to talk to you. And so she did read them. And then he was adamant about he kept to like FaceTime with Atlas, but then he would back out and then we set it up and back out. And he said that Jalen's death took a lot of toll on them. He actually was in therapy. Like, he saw a therapist, and I think he actually said he brought it up to his therapist, and his therapist was telling him not to communicate with me.
For the loss of their son and by that manner. And then the thing is, you're the one that hires, you're the one that brings in the babysitter. So you actually wind up, you blame yourself.
Right.
Just as much as the murderer, the perpetrator, in the loss of their son. So I can't imagine and how it certainly, you know, would create such a chasm between them that without professional help. Let me just quick ask, did Dr. Tucker attempt to contact the Washingtons at all?
Yes. He had also attempted to contact them. I think it was the same scenario of they weren't interested. So that was about
and they
it.
Couldn't, and the mother couldn't say that he was a nut or that he was somehow, you know, someone that she would rather not speak with.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's a doctor.
Yeah.
And I know they have seen the documentary. I do know that. I've had.
Oh, you do? They did watch it.
They have watched it, and they actually have a lawsuit against Netflix. I don't want to. I don't know a whole lot.
That's okay, but wow.
Yes.
That's interesting. Just because, like.
Which is the reason they watched it.
Yeah, probably. But it's, we can't control things like that. I mean, it's not like your son chose to have these random memories. And these things that we can't explain, even doctors and therapists that have been doing this for years, to sit down with your son and just be baffled that he's remembering these things from another child's life. That, I mean, it must have, they must have just been in complete awe. And I mean, I don't know how many times they have that happen, of course, but did,
I know, I, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's because I'm really curious, in your family or your family history, has there been any like past history of visions or dreams that have come true, or like premonitions, or any other like past life thing? Or did you like look into that? I'd have been really curious.
So I come from a extremely religious family.
Okay, that was my next question.
Yes, I have had, I've done other podcasts and, you know, other interviews and some things, and a lot of them are about religion and my religious, and so I'm open, I will talk about anything. I grew up extremely religious family, like my grandfather is a pastor, my uncles are pastors, like, you know, but I was always the one who was questioning everything. Not that I didn't believe, but I'm like, but why is every, as a child, how come all these other countries have different religions? How come, if ours is right, how come they got, they didn't hear about it?
Yeah.
How do they have this religion? If it was true, then how did they come up with this one? So I kind of question it, and I would get in trouble for questioning things as a child. And I remember one time I was a kid, I said, when I die, I want to come back as a dog. I don't know why I said it. I don't even remember why I said it. And I remember my mom telling me, that does not happen. Don't say that. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know why I thought that happened. But so I have always had a, I guess, questioning, a mind that I question everything, and I'm open to anything, because I don't think anyone has the correct answer of anything. I do believe in some type of higher power, because, especially because of Atlas, because how does this even work? I don't know. You know, something's happening where, you know, that's the case. If anyone having some type of vision stuff, it would be me.
Okay.
I don't know anyone else in my family, but I have had throughout my life dreams, and then it happens. Or, I mean, I dreamt that someone's house caught on fire, and the next day their house caught on fire and burned down. Like, I've had a lot of different experiences in my life, but nothing to where I thought, you know, maybe there's coincidental dreams, or, you know, I haven't, I've talked to a paranormal podcast once, and they thought, they talked to me a lot about it. And I actually never thought about it until talking about it with them, that like, oh, wow, you must, you're very open-minded, so, you know, having this stuff. Visions and stuff happening to you, maybe things happen to you because you can understand them. I don't know, you know.
So do you think that maybe that's so possibly passed down to your son?
Possibly. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how any of it works.
Oh no, I don't either. I'm not.
I don't know, but somehow maybe he is very sensitive, and so am I. So
that's
he's
awesome.
A very sensitive kid.
What were you gonna say, Don?
And being a preschool teacher, am I correct?
Yes.
Do you have, I mean, I'm sure especially after the Netflix program, you became somewhat of a local celebrity, so to speak. Is that the case, or do you have parents who are looking at you askew, or even rather accusatory, or I don't want you saying or speaking of this to my children. Are you getting any of that? Are you getting any flack?
I would never talk about it to my preschoolers, because I don't want to upset any parents. Because I also work at a religious preschool. So it's a religious school. But most the parents were okay. Like, most of my coworkers thought it was very interesting. Like, most, I would say 90% is positive. I assume the people that never spoke to me about it are the ones who didn't care for it.
And I'm assuming that's after the Netflix thing came out. Your son wasn't like running around the preschool going, hey, I got a past life.
He never really talked about it that much. Like, it's interesting. Oh, wow. And I was worried that people would question him. And like my oldest son at the time, right now he's 16, you know, he was a little bit older, and he, they'd be like, tell us about this, tell us about that, Atlas, tell us about that. And then he would be like just making things up. And I would say, no, we're not doing that. We're not questioning him, because they just want him to keep telling more stuff.
Yeah.
Telling more information. And I would say, no, we're not going to do that, because that's how he will make up a scenario that way. But going back to the year that came out, I definitely had parents really, they were into it. Apparently that morning on the radio, they were talking about our local radio show was like, we have someone in Evansville on Netflix. And one of my parents called. Her name is Erica Aubrey. She's my son's preschool teacher.
And oh, that was
gave
great.
Her, gave him my information. And then they called me, and I was on the radio show the next morning.
Did you, and this isn't to sound like vain or anything, but did you like that your son was recognized for something that was so unique? Did it make you feel good, or did it make you a little bit scared that you had like these new eyes on you that might question you?
I would say scared. Because if I saw that, maybe I would think that lady is a kook. Because I am like that. Okay. Do people now see me as some weird, crazy lady?
They do?
I don't know. I just was too concerned that they might. I might. I still have people saying, well, how do you know he didn't just make that up? And I don't even want to I don't even want to make the argument anymore. It's been so many times. I don't do that, because I'm not going to argue with anybody.
So you put your shields up.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing with anybody. So I just say, you know, I'm not arguing, because, you know, I don't want to get back and forth this battle. I know my child. I know how he answered the questions. I work with children. I actually have lots of training. I'm talking with children from abusive situations. And so that's how I use those techniques to talk to Atlas.
Yeah.
That way I wasn't putting words in his mouth, you know, using open-ended questions. That's exactly how we talk to children, and we're trained to talk to children if we suspect any type of child abuse.
Yeah.
You know, we don't put words. So I mean, I feel like he came up with those names himself.
Yeah.
And I try to tell a lot of people. So I'll say the next day after the day the Netflix thing came out.
Yeah.
I mean, I had hundreds of Facebook friend requests.
Oh, geez.
So, I mean, I've heard it all.
Oh, man.
So I had created a Facebook group just for Atlas's story, because I had so much.
Wow.
No doubt. No doubt. Did Dr. Tucker offer any answers as to why the imagery, the flashbacks, the memories of the past life seem to cut off? Is that something common that he's experienced with other children, or does he feel there's a causation for that?
Well, I will tell you both how they started. He gave me explanation how it started and how it stops. Mm-hmm. He said that Atlas being in our car, it was a cloudy day and we're on the highway, and he was staring out the window, and then he just started talking about it. He may have been hypnotized by the highway.
Because
he was very relaxed. It was kind of raining.
Uh-huh.
He was staring out the window. I mean, we just had a big meal, and he said that's when most children taking baths, riding in the car, when they're very relaxed, you know, he may have got hypnotized somehow, and the memories came in.
Self-hypnosis,
Yeah.
Like self-hypnosis. In other words,
yeah.
You like place yourself almost like daydreaming, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And then he said that every child he has ever really worked with always loses the memories. They always did.
Really? Hmm. Does it say like a time span or no?
As they get older, they forget more and more. They know the most when they're the youngest, but they can't really communicate it. And usually by the time they start talking, they've already forgotten. If there was a past life thing, if everyone was reincarnated.
Yeah.
So, and these are just personal ideas. And I think, the more tragic maybe they are, the more you're able to remember them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It seems a lot of, if you look up a lot of reincarnation, you know, stories,
mm-hmm.
usually the person has died in a way that it was like sudden or too soon. It seems like maybe they need to relive their second life. I don't know.
Or maybe it was closure. Maybe was closure he really because... did want to know that his mom yeah. did kill him.
Yes. That was another thing. I thought of many reasons of why this happened yeah. or what was the purpose. Maybe that was the only purpose because he was extremely relieved
was.
To know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh my now, God. Dr. Tucker, for having described that with the children he's working, it seems to happen with all of them. There's a cutoff, a closure, as Ellie just called it, where mm-hmm. they lose all previous memory, contact with that past.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would take it that he would tend to be skeptical on adults who then explore past life regression, where all of a sudden, just through hypnosis, they're able to remember 50 years, 100 years, 200 years before. So has that ever come up with him? Has he or anyone suggested regression, hypnosis, in an attempt to retrieve any more information? Or does he feel that there is this cutoff?
I never talked to him about doing the hypnosis regression as adults or older child.
Right.
So I have not talked to him about that. But it is interesting that some adults remember, and I'm also skeptical about it as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure they could be true.
More skeptical of an adult. I mean, children are very forthright. They just don't make things up. They don't hallucinate and describe things right. that aren't affecting them emotionally.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing that they rely on, fear
mm-hmm.
and happiness
right.
and sadness. They're not putting on airs. They have nobody to, you know.
They don't have anybody to impress.
Whereas
100%. Yes.
That's right.
No reason for them to lie.
Their motives. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Where I will say I've been added to a Facebook group for past life memories. And I was just reading stuff. And half the people on there, I'm like, these people are weird and they're lying. And so then if I'm in this group, I look like one of these weird liars. And so
I would have left.
Yes, because they're like, well, I used to be Elvis. I used to be on the Titanic and I'm on my fourth life. And I'm like, oh, come on, stop it. I just had to get away from it because
never grown up. You know?
Yes, you guys are just wanting the attention. So those type of people make people who have real experiences, I think it seems doubtful.
Yeah.
It so many
makes them look like a fraud.
Yes. A lot of people have
as we're winding down and we're getting to the end of the program. Were there any scars? Were there any marks on Atlas? Because I know that also has been a consideration that at times babies are born with marks that then suggest some previous injury, something that happened prior to their even being conceived, that type of thing. So was there anything physiological on Atlas that also was a little curious?
He has no birthmarks.
No. Okay.
I will say he was born. He was my only one that had he had to be checked out on my pregnancies. He had to be monitored a lot. And he had wrapped his cord around his throat many times and in knots, and he was suffocating himself, and I had to be induced, and he would have died another day if he was still in there.
Oh,
I don't know,
man.
If he has anything, because he was suffocated, hating himself. That was pretty much the only, you know, interesting thing, I guess.
Wow.
But
that is
sounds like this
quite
is all
the life.
All past it. all past him, and that at least you don't have to be concerned with it. Would you consider Atlas? Is he a gifted child in any way? Is he different? I mean, is he peculiar in his tastes, in you know, just his approach to life? I mean, granted, he's only 9 years old, but I mean, are you seeing anything that you're going, he's going to grow up to be some type of man at some point?
It's hard to tell. Like I said, he has always been very sensitive. So he does get his feelings hurt really easily. So I mean, he is very, you know, I can't explain it. Like, he is concerned if he doesn't read very well because he's dyslexic, and he's been diagnosed with that.
He seems very empathetic.
He is very worried about not reading like the others, and you know, so he has a lot of sympathy and emotions. He when he was 3 years old, he would watch even a show with someone getting lost in the woods, and he would just tear up. And we were watching this, like, a show, like a documentary type show, and he would just have tears, saying he was upset for that person because they're lost. Like a cartoon.
Sounds like a fine young boy. Have you kept a diary, a log, through those years? I mean, any thing that was said or that you observed, did you make note of it? Did you record or film anything? Or
I did not. I probably should have, because I didn't realize how interesting they were. But I have most everything in my head. Like, I remember a pretty good memory. Infatuating with African-American women and things like, you know, I remember all that stuff, and it clicked later, you know, well, maybe that was why, you know.
Yeah, maybe it really was. You should maybe write it down for him, give it to him when he's older, and say, hey, kiddo, do you remember this?
Right.
Erica, your story is phenomenal. Yeah. I can't even believe it. It is, to experience that must have been just a complete whirlwind. And we do have to wrap things up, but is there anything else that you would like to leave us with this evening?
I guess I would say that people should listen to their children.
Listen to
them. And when they're talking, my favorite quote is, listen to the children, because I get a lot of insight with my own children and preschoolers. If you listen to them, they're honest. Like you said, they have no one to impress.
Right.
Listen to your children. I have heard children saying all kinds of things, you know, at school that I find interesting, could be for another day. But, you know, if I wasn't listening to my child talking, I could have ignored him. I asked him, you know, so questions, you know, what's going on. And so I would think, if any advice, listen to your child. Parents should listen to their children more often and pay attention and see what's going on.
Sound advice for all of us. You've been a wonderful guest, Erica.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you so much for being our guest this evening. It's been fabulous.
Yeah.
I hope that you have a great rest of your evening as well.
All right.
And say hi to Atlas for us, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
I will let him know. I told him that I'm doing a podcast for your Netflix documentary. Oh, okay. He doesn't care.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know anything you're talking about.
Whatever. So. He knows I do these sometimes.
Stay well.
People talk to him at teachers at school and stuff. They all know him at school, and he just doesn't even faze him.
Well, definitely say hi to him for us. But
well.
And thank you again.
Thank you again.
Yes.
Thank
no problem.
You again.
All right, everybody, that's all that we have for this evening. We really hope that you enjoyed this podcast. And please don't forget to rate and review it. It really helps other people find us. If you are looking to connect with the podcast, you can find us on Facebook at No Earthly Explanation. And if you'd like to connect with Don, you can find him on Facebook at Donald Raymond Schmidt. And if you'd like to find me, you can find me on all social media platforms at Ellie Ringo and at Ellie Knows Rocks. And if you have any comments or questions about this episode or future episodes you'd like us to investigate, please don't hesitate to email us at noearthlyexplanation@gmail.com. Thank you so much, and have a great evening.
Good night, all. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Metacortex Publishing hopes that you've enjoyed this presentation.
Please take a moment to listen to some other podcast offerings from Metacortex Publishing.
A quest is a search for something. And every week, the Quest podcast will show you how we know what we know through interviews with people that have incredible stories of dedication and perseverance. I'm your host, Todd Fisher. Join me in this thought-provoking and inspiring podcast of discovery. Find us anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Cult Following is a podcast that studies the personalities and common traits of cult leaders and their followers. Get the real story behind these infamous and oftentimes tragic cults from a new perspective, through exhaustive research and from interviews with people that were there. Available anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please be sure to rate and review this episode. This podcast is produced by Todd Fisher and Anthony Smith and is distributed by Metacortex Publishing. This podcast is copyright. Any previously trademarked or copyright content is used by permission. Information and opinions stated in this podcast should not be construed as medical advice. Please be sure to visit the official website for Metacortex Publishing at metacortexpublishing.com or find us on social media for other unique content.